Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Always great to have a chance to meet with you here on the weekend and just about any time through our podcast with The Advertising Show. Being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. And by Captivate Network. You can visit them at captivate.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production. Very special guest out of Indianapolis, Indiana. That's kind of like the center of the United States almost, you know, the crossroads. It's Scott McCain, Vice Chairman of Obsidian Enterprises, dynamic holding company, interest widely in varied businesses from finance to butyl rubber reclamation, from manufacturing trailers to leasing celebrity coaches. There's got to be a connection there. From cosmetic surgery to publishing magazines. And his book is called The Collapse of Distinction, published by folks at Thomas Nelson. And we're going to get a chance to talk with Scott here in just a few minutes. We also have momentarily Shamin Abbas with us here at The Advertising Show. CEOs and executive blogs. So you're a CEO. You think you should be blogging. Might want to listen to what Shamin has to say. Later on in the show, it's the customer experience. There's a store called Lush, or a cosmetic line called Lush, I think it is. And Gene Bliss is going to talk about Lush. It's not the other version of what you were thinking there, Brad. So, So how the heck are you doing?
Well, I'm doing wonderful, and gosh, I don't know. Every time we do get together to do the show every weekend, it's just, what, the highlight of your and my week, right?
That and mowing the lawn. I really enjoy that a lot,
especially
now, especially this time of the year when we've had no rain for what seems to be three months or so. So I don't have to cut it as often, Brad. This is interesting. This is from, where is it? It's called Smart Money. It's the Dow Jones Newswire. And I find this rather humorous. It says, lawmakers want TV stations to dial down advertising volume. Okay, now it's true that some television stations do have some problems with adjusting levels. You know, you'll come onto a show and then the ad comes on and it's way too loud. But basically, now they want to do something about it. They said television commercials are too loud, as most viewers know. Well, that's not true. And members of Congress want broadcasters to turn down the volume. A bill sponsored by U.S. Representative Anna Issue, who's a Democrat from California, would require the United States Federal Communication Commission to preclude commercials from being broadcast at louder volumes than the program material they accompany. The idea is hard to resist, but it might be difficult to mandate. Ain't that a fact? So basically what they're saying is, watch the volume. It's too loud. I can't hear. What do you think about that?
You know, you and I both know technically you can't really turn up the volume on a commercial, so to speak, but there are certain attention-getting devices that we all use in this business to get the attention of the listener, and it probably sounds like it's louder than it really is because, you know, it's not necessarily, you know, subtle drama that commercials are trying to get across. It's trying to get an attention and a sales message. So technically, Ray, they're incapable of varying the audio level of the commercial versus the program. Isn't that true?
It's very true. Number one, you're talking about loudness and then what's called apparent loudness, okay? That's not measured by a voltage meter or a VU meter. It's measured by a loudness meter. Secondly, television stations, I mean, we do audio for television, and stations do not accept commercials if they are anything less than minus 10 dB, below zero, the peak volume, not just the overall volume, but the peak volume. If they're not, they send them back. So what I think what folks are experiencing, and this is going to be a tough thing to enforce, is a lot of this stuff comes from your local TV station where things might be a little bit different. Not the networks.
Not monitoring their levels, right?
Exactly. And there are things that you can do. I mean, our box, our Dish Network box, has, I think it actually has a limiter in there to control the volume. So, you know, take it out of the hands of the lawyers. They've screwed up enough already and have a lot to do. So let's worry about the other stuff that really, really counts. And lady, go help your constituents in California before you worry about the loudness of commercials. We've got Shamin Abbas here at the Advertising Show. Let's listen.
And now it's time for Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional. Now, here's your host, the uncompromising Shamin Abbas.
CEO and executive blogs, not just hot air. Does the CEO of your agency or a client want his or her own blog? Or do members of the executive team want their own blogs? It must be said that very few CEOs use this tool, although those that do find it an excellent medium to come into contact with all kinds of people they may otherwise never have come into contact with. And very importantly, the media who cover the company will become immediate followers. Our client Jordan Zimmerman of Zimmerman Advertising launched his own blog less than a month ago, YouSleepWhenYouDie.com, and already subscribers number in the hundreds. There's no hot air coming from popular CEO blogs like Sun Microsystems CEO Jonathan Schwartz, GoDaddy's Bob Parsons, Red Balloon Day's Naomi Simpson, and Marriott International's Bill Marriott. And many more CEOs of smaller companies are maintaining blogs now. Marketers should play a role in creating the blog's stylistic guidelines and help the CEOs and execs with writing and editing, at least initially. A CEO rarely needs guidance on knowing what to say, but he or she may need guidance in voice and style appropriate to the company's objectives. Images and videos should be available to illustrate the topics CEOs and execs speak about, as well as their photographs or personalization. A CEO blog may only need to be updated once a month, bending what I believe to be the once-a-week rule, since the media and others understand the severe time constraints they're often under. CEOs will get good readership regardless. Showing the talents of the executive team through individual blogs is also a great way to build rapport. As always, the trick is to be sure they have the time and the will to write once a week. Early enthusiasm is to be expected, but often the scheduling realities set in. Encourage them to think of the audience perspective over the company's message, since sometimes ROI creeps into their thinking and they start to use their blogs as a sales pitch. That is a no-no. Personality, presence, relevance, and a touch of sarcasm, playfulness, or whatever characterizes your exec should creep in. This is about the personalities behind the company, not the company itself.
You've been listening to Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional with host Shamin Abbas. Shamin is president and founder of Shamin Abbas Public Relations, a full-service agency providing local, regional, national, and international media relations, special event production, and inventive promotion with offices in New York City and West Palm Beach. To learn more, visit ShaminAbbasPR.com. That's ShaminAbbasPR.com.
Thanks, Shamin. On the Advertising Show, Ray Shulman's Brad Forsyth. Coming up next, it is Scott McCain. We're going to talk about Scott's new book. It's called The Collapse of Distinction, Stand Out and Move Up While Your Competition Fails. I like that. It's a Thomas Nelson book, and Scott is in Indianapolis, so we're going to find out a little bit more. Scott is actually a popular speaker, and of course a best-selling author. All business is show business, what customers really want. McCain is a member of the Professional Speakers Hall of Fame and has appeared on the 14 countries, all 50 United States, and now he puts the Advertising Show as being one of his appearances that will probably go to the top of the list as far as fond memories, don't you think? So it's Scott and Ray and Brad here in the Advertising Show. Looking forward to finding out what the collapse of distinction is all about. Stay with us.
Here comes another typical commercial. I could get your attention by blowing a foghorn or maybe an awesome scream. But even that doesn't cut through the clutter enough to really captivate your attention. If you're an advertiser and you really want your message to be heard, then reach for the golden nugget of advertising. It's what's called a captive audience. One company delivers this much sought-after captive audience. And believe it or not, it's just the people you want to reach, business professionals and decision makers. It all happens in 23 of North America's largest and most progressive markets. And the captive audience is right there in the elevators of select premier office towers. Over 8,000 high-quality video screens get people's attention with what research proves they want, news and information. It's all combined with your branded message in a way that only this captive audience sees and absorbs. Cut the waste in your advertising budget by reaching just who you want to reach. Don't just advertise. Captivate your audience. To find out more, click on Captivate.com.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsythe.
You love Devilman Gum. Double good,
welcome back. Ray Schillins, Brad Forsythe, and Scott McCain of Indianapolis, Vice Chairman of Obsidian Enterprises. ObsidianEnterprises.com is the website. But what we're talking about today with Scott is a brand new book. It's called The Collapse of Distinction, or Collapse of Distinction, Stand Up and Move Up While Your Competition Fails. Sounds like a plan, Scott. Thanks for being here today. Nice to have you here.
Great to be with you both. I really appreciate it. I'm a fan of the show, and it's a thrill to have the chance to be a part of it. Thank you.
We're honored to have you, Scott. And by the way, if you're a leader in your particular industry, since Scott's subtitle here says stand out and move up while your competitors fail, if your competitors might be listening, you know, you're in trouble, I guess, today, because, Scott, you're going to dispel all this, right?
Well, yeah, you make a good point, but, Brad, part of what we have to do is define distinction from our competitors, so hopefully the path that, you know, that we chart for ourselves will be different from the one our competitors do. You know, you find distinctive companies and distinctive organizations that are even in the same industry. Part of what I point out in the book is you can be Domino's and focus on delivery. You can be Papa John's and focus on better ingredients, better pizza, and be distinctive from your competition, even though you might be competing within the same industry.
So imagine that if Domino's and Papa John's actually merged, you would actually get a good pizza on time. I like that. That's a good idea.
Well, you know, and there's some of them at Domino's that don't like it when I talk about the fact that Domino's is not a pizza business; it's a delivery business. Mm-hmm. The focus is on, you know, speed of delivery and temperature of the product, not necessarily the quality of the product. I have yet, in speaking about this for years, meet the first person that says that they call Domino's because it's the best tasting pizza they ever put in their mouth.
I mean, right.
It doesn't exist.
No.
But it differentiated itself in that business based upon not the product, but what happens to the product, which is hard sometimes for folks to get their heads around, is that maybe it's something other than the product that is driving customers to your door.
You know, successful companies, I think, figure out their value prop, and it's not always what consumers think the obvious is. You know, you talk about a lot of distinction points and differentiation. Can a company or a particular professional, for that matter, gain traction from the marketplace simply by being differentiated?
Yeah, one of the things for many years I did movie reviews. It was kind of my little sidelight. I loved broadcasting. I got out of broadcasting to do other things, and I wanted to learn how to use a television camera beyond TV. And I had this great opportunity to do movie reviews, and through that I had a chance to meet Roger Ebert. And I was joking with Roger about how there were a lot of film critics out there that would have given Texas Chainsaw Massacre a great review if only it were in a foreign language and had subtitles. and he laughed, and he said, yeah, but Scott, he said, how many movies are you seeing a week? And I said, well, you know, one, the movie that I shoot the review for. And he said, don't you get it? I'm seeing three or four movies a day.
Wow.
And he said, so when something comes along that seems different, you automatically perceive it to be superior, whether it is or not. And in the book, I call that the Ebert effect, that when customers are overwhelmed with similar choices, something that's different will appear to them to be superior, regardless of whether it really is or not. And I think we see that so many times, and it's what you're pointing out, Brad, as well, is that there are organizations that may not have a superior product, but by superior advertising, by differentiated marketing, they bring distinction to their organization. I mean, Enterprise Rental Car still sells and rents the same cars that their competitors do. They are identical products. But we all know they did one thing differently. They pick you up, and it created the largest rental car company in America. So it's finding something that is distinctive, something that separates you from the pack.
And that would seem easier and maybe more achievable with an organization or a company. But when it comes to a particular individual that is a professional and representing, you know, a consultancy or an attorney or whatever the case may be, is that a little more difficult on a professional level rather than a particular product?
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think it is. But I think one of the reasons is something that we've overlooked. And for some reason, we tend to run from our own uniqueness. We recognize the uniqueness of other organizations, which is why we get so many authors and speakers talking about Starbucks and Southwest Airlines and, you know, telling the same stories. we tend to run from our own uniqueness. And as professionals, many times, we want to look at the things that we have in common with other people in our industry, with other people that do what we do, instead of emphasizing those experiences that have made us distinctive and unique. I know with my involvement on the board of the company that I'm with, and also from talking with lots of business leaders, that now when they're talking about hiring somebody, part of what they look at is, have you had unique and distinctive experiences? So, you know, finding a way to do something different, finding a way to get involved in a charitable activity, finding a way to have alternative experiences and viewpoints do more to set you apart than what a professional might ordinarily believe.
You know, that's such a good point, because I think we're all brought up to fit in, you know, whether it's in school or, you know, among our peer group, or even, you know, entering the job for, you know, whatever your area of profession happens to be. You want to be like...
toe the line.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I wanted to say, too, as well, is that not as much that we run away from it, but I think there are so many businesses out there that really don't know what their uniqueness is, or that characteristic is, or how to identify it.
Yeah, and part of that becomes that we've done such a terrible job organizationally of telling our own story. One of the things I found in the research was that every Southwest Airlines employee, here I am telling the Southwest story after I criticized them, every Southwest employee that I've met can tell you the story of how the airline was founded. It's Herb Kelleher and Rollin King sitting in a bar, and on a napkin they draw a triangle that has HD and SA, which is Houston, Dallas, San Antonio, and talking about flying in that triangle. And for the 25th anniversary of the airline, they even reproduced that napkin complete with the watermark of the bourbon that Herb had on the napkin.
How cool.
And every single employee can tell you that story. Well, I researched and found out there was a pilot in Pasco, Washington, named Leon Cutterback, that flew the mail from Pasco to Seattle and figured out he could make more money putting people on the plane than mail. And that's the beginning of United Airlines.
Oh, my.
I have yet to find a single United employee that knows that story.
Wow, that understands the culture. That's really cool. Scott McCain, our special guest here at the Advertising Show. The Collapse of Distinction, Stand Out and Move Up While Your Competition Fails is the name of the book. Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth here with you. Back with more in just a minute.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
I drink Dr. Pepper and I'm proud. I used to be alone in a crowd. But now you look around these days.
Back with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth here at The Advertising Show. Our special guest out of Indianapolis, Scott McCain, is the author of Collapse of Distinction, Stand Out and Move Up While Your Competition Fails, out of the beautiful city of Indianapolis. That is, David Letterman's hometown too, right?
Yes, it is. When I was a kid, I remember watching David Letterman do the weekend weather, and I remember him getting in trouble talking about we were going to have hail the size of canned hams.
He was always good, wasn't he?
He needed the format to fit in.
That's funny.
Great example of differentiation there. Let's give people a little sense of your book. Outstanding book, Scott. Certainly not your first endeavor into publishing. Two other great books, All Businesses, Show Business, as well as What Customers Really Want. Urge all of our listeners to check out Collapse of Distinction. It's a great read. Let's talk a little bit about the outlining of your book from the outset, where you begin by introducing the three destroyers of differentiation. Describe for us, if you would, Scott, each of these destroyers, just high points, if you will, and talk about the impact that they have on companies today, especially in these economic conditions we're all struggling with.
Right, I appreciate it. I was trying to... Everything seems the same nowadays. You know, what separated my town from another small town was that the restaurants where we had, where we ate, were different, and the places we bought our clothing was different. And, you know, it's what made our community distinctive. And now with the big box retailers and with everything, and an old timer back home told me, I can't tell the difference between one insurance company and an insurance agent and another. I can't tell the difference between one car and another. All of that led me to wondering what pulled us back to the pack like a magnet. And as I researched it, I found that there were three basic destroyers of distinction. One is copycat competition. Let's say that we're all in the same business, and Brad, I see that you have a strategic advantage, so my natural inclination is to imitate that. And then Ray may see that you and I are both doing the same thing, Brad, so Ray jumps in and he goes one better, and so then we copy his advance. And what ends up happening is that the three of us as competitors pay more attention to each other and imitating one another, so none of us have a strategic advantage, and we're focusing more on our competitor than we are our customer. And therefore we disconnect ourselves from the customer, and we also tend to make all of us seem, bland competition. The second of the three is we have new and better competitors in the marketplace. When I was a kid, the Interstate Highway came through my small town, and guess what came along with it? Well, McDonald's came to the interchange. And who followed McDonald's? Burger King and Wendy's. And so if you had a little diner in Crothersville, Indiana, all of a sudden the interstate brought new competition for which you were unprepared. And now it's not the interstate, it's the Internet, obviously, that's delivering competitors. If you have a shoe store somewhere, how do you compete with Zappos? You know, not just the big box retailers. How do you compete with these online retailers that are very savvy and sophisticated in how they sell their wares to the marketplace, the same thing that you're selling? The third was the one that really surprised me the most, but it became the most obvious as we researched it, and that is, you know, my mom always told me that familiarity breeds contempt. And with all respect to mom and moms everywhere, she was wrong. Familiarity breeds complacency. Mm. What happens is the more familiar I am with you and the way that you do business, let's say I've been a long-time customer, it doesn't mean that I hold you in contempt. What it means is I start taking you for granted. And so when you put the three of those together, that our best customers are the ones most likely to take us for granted, there's new and better competition facing us and being delivered to our customers' desktops and laptops every day, and that what we've tended to do is to compete with one another and to copy one another as opposed to focus on our customer, what we've really done is to put ourselves in a pretty big mess. We have created our own collapse of distinction.
Hmm. You know, as you were describing your copycat competition idea there, I immediately thought of both local car dealers, domestics in particular. I thought of the furniture retail industry. Why is it that certain business sectors tend to take on that mindset of keeping an eye on their competitors as opposed to focusing in on their customers?
Gosh, you know, that's a great question. I really think there's many answers at many levels for that. But I think part of what's happened, particularly in those industries that you're mentioning, like automotive and furniture, those types of retailing, is that somehow we've gotten so focused on the product and focused internally, we've really forgotten about the connectivity with the customers externally. Mm-hmm. I really do believe that a lot of those car dealers thought that they believed there wasn't significant difference between their product and the ones of the competition. And if you're a Chevy dealer in Indianapolis and there's five other Chevy dealers, you know, the natural normal thing, particularly when you have salespeople that are based upon commission and based upon transaction, is that we've got to, you know, stack them deep and sell them cheap. That we've got to focus just on slicing the price, which in turn our competition sees that in terms of the advertising, and they want to do the same thing. And so we end up, again, doing all of those things, focusing internally on the product and not externally on the customer. Not that customers don't want a deal, and particularly in these challenging economic times, everybody wants the best price they can get. Yeah. But I think we as customers are looking for more than that these days, and I don't think businesses have done enough to market and to advertise in that direction.
Very special guest out of Indianapolis, Scott McCain, is author of the brand new book called The Collapse of Distinction, Stand Up and Move While Your Competition Fails, Thomas Nelson Publishing. ObsidianEnterprises.com, by the way, if you want to check out more of what Scott does. And also, let's see, the Value Added Institute, you're also vice chairman of that. So lots of stuff. Busy guy, I guess, Scott, huh? I understand. Well, it's radio. Come on. There you go. Back with more in just a minute with Ray and Brad and Scott, too. Dang it.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Here are some most happy fellas, the four lads.
Back then it was a little bit easier to sell a Ford car. Or a truck, or mostly cars back then. The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth, our special guest out of Indianapolis, Scott McCain, author of the book, The Collapse of Distinction. ScottMcCain.com is also a great place to go to find out more about what Scott has been up to, and just check that out, ScottMcCain.com. Hey, recently, Scott, there was a Ace Hardware, or True Value, I guess, is the hardware. They're trying to compete against Lowe's and Home Depot. And what they've come up with is a hardwarian guy. In other words, the guy that knows everything about hardware. And I see this as kind of an unfortunate mistake on behalf of our friends at True Value. Number one, when it comes to stocking supplies and having the parts that you may need for your project, your weekend project, Ace is certainly a distinct third when it comes to the capability to supply that product. And tell you a quick story here as well. I had an experience with Ace where I went in to buy some ply locks before a hurricane was headed our way here in Houston. And the hardwarians at Ace, True Value, excuse me, did not know what ply locks were. And secondly, they said they don't know what they are. So I went back and I found the ply locks and I showed the gentleman that this is what ply locks are. And because you have a hurricane coming, you ought to buy some more because you'll probably sell them all. So you got a company that's trying to brand itself as something that it's not really. What happens when you run into a situation like that?
Well, it's a fundamental sin. I mean, it's a cardinal sin of organizations because congruency, as I talk about in the book, is of primary importance. We have gotten to the point that we are sick and tired with as customers of this enormous gulf that seems sometimes, this huge disconnection between what's promised in the advertising and what's delivered by the actual experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, maybe that congressperson you were talking about earlier about the loudness of commercials maybe could change it. If we're going to legislate everything, it'll legislate congruency.
Yeah, that's a scary thought, isn't it?
That's even more important than how loud the commercial is. It's just terrifying to me how many organizations fail to understand the damage that they're doing, the irreparable harm that they're doing to their image by failing to understand that what you experience on the floor of that shop has to be exactly the same as what's being promoted in the advertising. And it's really simple. If you can't do it, don't advertise it. If you can't deliver it, don't promote it. Find something else to talk about. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to have the hardwarian that is this expert in every store, then you'd better make certain that every store has somebody that knows what they're talking about.
It was a hardwarian. That came from the agency. That did not come from the company then, basically.
That would be my guess.
There you go.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and your book is has an interesting format in that you have the executive summary and then kind of an action component as well at the end. How did you come up with that idea?
You know, I just know that folks that do what you do, folks that are involved in advertising and marketing, the people that are the targets for me of this book, are busy folks. And we want an airplane read, and I tried to make the book something that if you were flying from, you know, Houston to L.A., you can read the book basically in an airplane read. But I thought, okay, so what happens then after you get off the plane, and there's something that you want to remember but you don't want to have to go back and reread the whole book to find that point. Or maybe you want to share the points of the book with your team, yet, I mean, it's hard to require a team to read an entire book. Well, you can just copy those summaries and use that as discussion points or go back to the, you know, the highlights of the material. Again, I was trying to find a way to be distinctive in terms of how do you get people to use the information. I think a lot of times authors focus on writing the book and churning the book out and getting the book done, but don't focus enough on how people can take action from what you're suggesting. And so that was the real important driving factor for me there.
You know, it's a great idea, and I sense that that was what the idea was behind you doing that. And for those that are business how-to readers, it's a great way to make sure that not only what you're reading is entertaining and informational, but more importantly, you remember it. Let me mention one final thing here before we wrap this up. Share with us, if you would, if there's a tendency in today's economic climate for a business to want to differentiate through price and wanting to be a better price than their competitors across town. A mistake? What are your thoughts?
I don't think it's a mistake if you have the product and, most importantly, the customer experience that can back it up. One of the things I point out in the book is many times we think of price being a differentiator if you're able to sell it cheaper. Yet that's not true. I mean, how does Mercedes, how does BMW, certainly how did Bentley differentiate themselves in the luxury marketplace? And price is certainly a part of that strategy. I think when people feel that the experience is soiled is when they pay a premium and aren't treated like premium customers. Let's face it, in today's economy, you know, the customer walking in your dealership or the prospect watching your advertising, if you have the ability to buy today, you want to be treated like a king or queen. And I don't think it's a mistake in today's economy to distinguish yourself with an aggressive price policy. But I think, first of all, you have to be honest and serious and brutally frank. Are you able to deliver the product? Are you able to deliver the performance? And most importantly, in terms of how the customer has an experience with you, is that of such a superior nature that they will feel that it's still a value?
Hey, Scott, one quick question here, too. Where do we send folks to check out the book and also take advantage of the Nelson free opportunity as well?
I appreciate that. ScottMcCain.com has all that information, and it's M-C-K-A-I-N. We also have CollapseOfDistinction.com. Naturally, Amazon, 800-CEO-READ all have the book. And one of the things about Nelson Free is if you buy the book, we're trying to do something distinctive with a book on distinction, you get the audiobook and the ebook version for your Kindle or your e-reader, even put it on your BlackBerry or iPhone. That's all included free when you purchase the book.
But you've got to do that before the top of the hour. Now, if you turn this into a direct response commercial. But wait, Ray Schilling's here for the collapse of distinction. I'm alive. Anyway.
What I want to know is if you order today, what additional items you get.
Ginsu knives. The knives. Well, he already gave it to us. Gave you this.
Thank you from the author.
That too. Yeah. And the children will send a thank you note when they graduate college too as well. Hey, anyway, Scott, it's been fun having you here. Thank you so much for being a part of the show. Write great books and continue doing the great things that you're doing there.
Ray, you're very kind. I appreciate that so much. Brad, thank you as well. And it's been a privilege. I look forward to continuing to listen to your great show in the future. And thanks for having me on today.
On the Advertising Show, Ray Schilling, Brad Forsyth, back in just a minute with more.
There is somewhere better to get inspired creative ideas. This is where it's at. OpenAd.net, the first online platform for advertisers, changing the way that ideas are created and traded. Access nearly 11,000 creative minds representing 125 countries around the world, waiting online to have a go at your brief. Imagine the impact such range and diversity of talent can have on your next advertising campaign. All creative work is IP cleared before you get it. We take care of all the details while you get brilliant ideas in a fraction of the time, at a lower cost, and with a lot less fuss. No endless meetings, no away days. When a client needed a new corporate identity ASAP and on a tight budget, they got the impossible. 170 creative solutions to the client in just 24 hours, from brief to deadline. OpenAd.net, busting down the walls of the ad industry. Put it to the test. Just go to OpenAd.net and give us a try. Hey, what have you got to lose? The future starts here.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schilling and Brad Forsyth.
Fruit juicy. Hey, how about a nice Hawaiian punch?
Sure.
You taste 7 kinds of fruit in Hawaiian punch. 7 kinds of fruit in Hawaiian punch.
Thanks so much for being here with Ray Shillings, Brad Forsythe on the Advertising Show. And thanks to our special friend, Scott McCain. The book is called The Collapse of Distinction. Like Scott says, it's an airplane read, so you get a chance to enjoy that as well. So it's been fun. We've got next week coming up on the show. Let me look. It is Matthew Frazier, author of Throwing Sheep in the Boardroom. And this is going to be an interesting interview as well, don't you think, Brian?
Yeah, that's Sheep, S-H-E-E-P, and he'll be calling in from Paris, France, I believe.
Okay. Well, yeah. Good. I hope he's got lots of quarters.
Yeah,
or francs, or whatever they have over there.
We purposely have been silent about the Michael Jackson stuff that had just overwhelmed the media 3-4 weeks ago, and right. We did that because we felt that, you know, everyone else was doing it, so we didn't, staying with differentiation. But I must mention this, because I've been wanting to, but I wanted to give it some time. When Kobe Bryant and Magic Johnson both got up to do their tribute, and Johnson starts talking about this dinner that he had with Michael and goes on to plug Kentucky Fried Chicken and KFC repeatedly, I thought, you know, if they got 750 million viewers watching that thing worldwide, KFC being a worldwide brand, you could, if somebody offered that kind of repeated plug by, you know, Magic Johnson, it'd be a bargain at $100 million. And not only that, you get this association with Michael Jackson eating your product. Yeah. I mean, I immediately thought, right, does Magic Johnson own KFC franchises? I know he's a business person, but no. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, that was more of the lighter moments there. And I thought that was nice and everything, but you're absolutely right. If that was just a coincidence, what a score for KFC.
I think it was a coincidence, and, you know, all those other record people that were up there, they had labels they could have mentioned. Of course, they didn't, and I don't think he did it in an untasteful way.
No, it was done very well. You're absolutely right.
But
absolutely.
If I'm KFC and watching that, I'm going, unbelievable.
Here's somebody else who's doing it right. It's Gene Bliss, the customer experience, and a company called Lush.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome. With your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
There's a rule of thumb at Lush Cosmetics, and that's to fearlessly retire 1/3 of the product line every year. Change is the magic behind the suds at Lush. And rather than waiting for customers to tire of products, Lush imposes a rigorous process to get rid of the old to make way for the new. It is what keeps Lush fresh, and that's what keeps pulling their customers back. Every day, Lush sells as many as 60,000 bath bombs, the concoction that created the Lush fan base. They spend little on advertising, customers spread the word, and they also spend little on packaging. They don't like what it does to the environment. As a result, the company enjoys the enviable position of operating with very little debt. The potent combination of customer word of mouth and Lush's enviable low margins means a new Lush store can break even in as little as 3 months. How fresh are you? Are you fearless in diminishing the old and bringing in the new? How do you keep your customers enticed and interested?
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to customerbliss.com.
As always, thanks to Gene Bliss for being a part of the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe. Next week, it is Matthew Frazier, author of Throwing Sheep in the Boardroom, and associated other things as well that come along with the sheep, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, we'll talk to him and look forward to getting back with you next week as well. Tell a friend about the Advertising Show. It's being powered by Shipple.com. It's a platform called Tenancy, an incredible marketing tool. Check it out. It's SCHIPUL.com. Advertising Show brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. You can visit online at adage.com, and by our friends at Captivate Network. You can also visit them at captivate.com. Hope you enjoyed the show today, and hope to tell a friend as well Come back and see us next week, okay? The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production.